everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And this week's episode is a special episode as I have registered into the podcast-thon event that is happening this week, where a community of podcasters across the world are getting together this week and dedicating their episodes to a charity or fundraising or an organization to help raise awareness to whichever subject they decided to, or with whatever charity they've decided to work on. And true to myself, always looking out to help the community as much as possible. That is the whole point of building our village. I have gotten together with the Youville Center, which is an amazing organization that help young mothers kind of create a brighter future for themselves and their children. And this is why it's close to my heart, because we're not only helping young mothers, but we're also helping their children to get a fair start in their lives. So I've had an episode in season one with a young mother who talks about her experience. She's not a young mother anymore, but she has grown. And I've actually learned so much from her. To be a topic that is taboo to many. We don't necessarily want to talk about it. We get uncomfortable with the topic, but there is support there that is needed, and this is what I have with this week. So for anybody who would like to support the community, support the cause, we will be sharing links on the donations. And I'm stumbling on my words. There's so much I want to say, but I'm going to put the spotlight on my guests. Thank you so much for joining me, and you could share a little bit about yourself and the center itself as well. I don't know, you could take turns kind of introducing yourselves.
Sure. Hi. Thanks for having us today, Danielle. We really appreciate it. I'm Karen O'Mara, and my role at Youville Center is Communications and Program Assistant.
And I'm Natasha McBrady, and I'm currently working as a program or a clinical supervisor at the Youville Center. I'm a psychotherapist by training.
That's amazing. That's the wonderful thing about the organization and the center is that there's quite a lot of help resources, specialists that share their expertise with the young mothers. So can you talk a little bit about what the Youville Center does in general, and we'll get into details after that.
Sure. So, as you mentioned, Youville's located in Ottawa, and we are a nonprofit registered charity and an accredited child and youth mental health agency. We serve, as you said before, two vulnerable pregnant and parenting young mothers and birth-giving parents and their children. On-site at our three-story building, we have education partnerships on our third floor, so fully accredited high school education. And our second floor, we focus on supporting our clients with wraparound supports through our intensive treatment support program and other administrative staff. And then our first floor is actually a licensed childcare for 70 infants and toddlers. Yeah, so at the center, we're kind of focusing on the well-being and of our mothers and children in the same building.
And that's what's amazing. It's the fact that it's all in the same building, so there's not a lot of traveling involved for the mothers to get around. It's wonderful. And it's so well-rounded as well. You cover not just let's get your diploma. It's just let's get you strong enough that you can get past this hurdle and whatever life is coming at. It's not easy already as a teenager or a young adult to navigate life. So it's great that you're giving them the tools. And this is the kind of leads me to the next question of, from your experience, what kind of outlook on life do young mothers have when they come to you? They're coming to you for help. And what's kind of their mindset at that point with their situation?
Right. I mean, it's really hard to generalize because all of them come from really unique situations. And so one of the ways that we tend to work is just in a very individualized way. So of course, all of our services and programs are available to everyone, but we really want to understand what's sort of pressing for that young person so that we can wrap around them in the right way. I think one of the things that's common across many of our young people and students is, even, when you're having a baby in the best of times, I think, many of us have questions like, is this the right time? Do I have the right resources? How's it going to impact the rest of my life? But for someone who is still in the process of, figuring out who they are and, you know, maybe is now facing stigma from their community, because we know there's a lot of stigma against, you know, pregnancies early, you know, in the teen years, and maybe are, you know, struggling with resources and support. So there's all those added layers that make this situation very scary for many of our young people. So I would say that one of the general outlooks we see is just people coming to the center and being really nervous, really scared, not knowing what to expect, being at the time of their life where there's so much unknown. And if we can kind of provide that safe landing of like, okay, we don't have all the answers, but you know, we are going to journey with you along this path, then I think that's, you know, what we try to do. And that's really the kind of support we try to offer.
Yeah, and that's, I think you've mentioned something really important there. As a mother, no matter the age, it's scary to think, okay, now what? What if I am in charge of this human being? So this is the fact that that add a layer of the stigma and the judgment that may come with it. It's important to get that. I've had the opportunity, and I invite the listeners as well to have a look on the website. There's some testimonials of some of the mothers that have gone through your program, and it's just beautiful to see, so inspiring. But can you kind of share with us the transformation that you see from the moment they step into your center to when they're ready to kind of spread their wings and leave the nest, so to speak?
Yeah, well, as Natasha mentioned, sometimes clients are coming to us from, you know, all over the city of Ottawa and from any different circumstance in life, but typically they have had their education interrupted or been out of high school for a while. Actually, it has been the case with a lot of clients. They just have had maybe challenges being successful in a typical high school setting. And once they come, they may not have had a lot of support either parenting at this point in their lives too. And as they come to us, we see them kind of gain confidence as they gain education credits in the high school setting and work with teachers, you know, in an alternate setting. So it has some more flexibility for learning for our students. They're able to set parenting goals with us, and they're really able to gain some problem-solving skills to navigate through the challenges of being a young parent. And this is all while their child is safe and secure in our quality early learning and care environment, which is a real bonus. Sometimes at UofL, it's maybe a first experience really gaining relationships with trusted adults. We find we really connect, a lot of staff and clients connect really strongly while they're here. And that our graduation, that brings us to kind of like, well, they're here, so they've gained these skills, they've done these parenting courses, worked on mental health, really gained a community of other people that are in the same situation as them, right? So they've really gained a lot of skills that way and overcome a lot of barriers. So that's where graduation comes in. When they finish their time with us, it's the most beautiful day. It's a very special occasion. We're really celebrating their accomplishments and the fact that they now have a high school education and can go move forward with their goals for employment or more education, whatever they choose to do. And know that they've improved their wellness with us, right? Social determinant of health. Also, having a high school education really improves outcomes. And they leave us with hope for their future, for themselves and their children. So it's really, really amazing to see. Basically, we have alumni that really stay connected to us for a long time afterwards and circle back regularly to kind of update on their lives and let us know how things are going and kind of talk about as they later on reflect and realize the support they received at the time was very, like, it isn't just the education and the childcare and the mental health supports. It's also a lot of practical support, right, with the other services and donations that we're able to support them with while they're here, because we have a very generous community. So quite often they're really gifted a lot of really amazing practical things to get them through the time that they're here. And so they really realize later on to appreciate that as well from their time here. And also a really neat thing is part of our graduation ceremony, we have a bursary program, and we also offer a second generation bursary. And when a second generation child comes back who was in our childcare like 15 years ago and gets a bursary award for their post-secondary education, it's just really a full circle moment and very beautiful. Yeah.
That is beautiful. And Well, I did. Yeah, I just I so much I could be. And the whole bunch of other questions just came to mind. But the fact that you brought it up, the fact that they're with a group of people that are going through similar situation, because often as a parent, you just feel alone already. But in this situation, to know that they're supported with people who understand their situation, I think is so empowering to begin with. So that's
There's
wonderful.
alumni that continue their friendship. They'll come back years later, and 20 years later, they're still friends with somebody that
Oh.
they were in school with here, 20 years ago. So it's definitely a lasting bond in life.
It is. It's very touching, actually, just to think that, they can be themselves in that environment. And I think that's what changes a lot in the outcomes. I think it's wonderful. And I'll leave in the description, I'll leave the website and everything so people can see that there's some
Great.
pictures of some of the transformation and all the support that you get as well, because there's so much more we'll talk about a bit later. But before we start talking about your program, I kind of like to bring up the subject of all the myths and stories we tell ourselves about young mothers and their walk of life, basically. Can you kind of walk us through some of the myths about young mothers that we really need to move away from?
Wow, that's a good question. I don't know that I've really thought of it in terms of myths, but one of the things that I often think about is just how strong these women are and these people are, birth parents as well. On a cold winter day, for example, if you're standing outside of our center, you will see a young parent with stroller and bags and child taking the bus coming from across town to get to school, which is no easy feat, right? And all of the things that they are doing to maintain themselves, maintain their family, keep their child fed and clothed. I mean, that's difficult in the best of circumstances, right? Like, even when you have all of the resources and the support and the grandparents and all that, but doing that on your own and making it to school every day, to me, that's like deserves celebration every single day. So maybe, in line with your questions, maybe one of the myths is, they're lazy or they're bad kids, or and these are not bad people. These are sometimes people who have experienced a lot of bad things. Not always, sometimes, but these are strong people who are trying to make a difference for themselves, for their children. And I think, the more kindness we can show in our everyday life as we meet with them, as we see them on the bus or on the road or whatever, the checkout line in the grocery store, the more that we can support as a community and really make them feel like they belong and that,
I love that.
as they're
Just
strong.
because it's so true. I know we have all these preconceptions sometimes, but it's when you're seeing them and actually look at what they're actually doing as opposed to what you think they haven't done, I think is that's this important thing to see. It's like they're working hard against all odds. They're making it happen. I think it's so important to highlight that. That kind of leads me to the next question of some of the, especially today, because I mean the world has changed so much in the last few years. But what are some of the realities that the young mothers are actually facing today that we need to be a bit more aware of, because it's not something that we would think about. But what are the challenges or realities they're facing today?
Right. So I touched a little bit on transportation, but I would say some of the main challenges are, housing. So it's really hard to get safe and adequate housing. I think many in our community, unfortunately, are facing food insecurity, and so making sure you have healthy food on the table, especially when you have a new baby or if you're breastfeeding, is really challenging. Getting a doctor, which we are so lucky to have a doctor who comes on site and is able to provide that care, to our to make sure children get their vaccinations and all of that. And then we have some more, I guess, some high safety risks. So things like gender-based violence, human trafficking. I mean, we see young people from, all sorts of pasts and trauma. And so I think that goes back to my initial point of we really work to individualize and tailor our care to help build a circle of support that's going to meet all those needs, because some of our young people have had, a pretty bumpy past and are really, again, like speaking to their resilience, making a choice to do something different for their kiddos, which is just, amazing to witness.
Yeah. And it's also, it kind of gives us a bigger picture of the complexity of it, because there's not a cookie cutter way of helping. Every case is different and every individual handles their situation differently. They could be in the same situation, but they will react differently. So it's a very complex world to navigate. So let's dive into your programs. I know a lot of people want to know about what it is you offer so much as well. It's what I love about the center is Sukini. Talk a little bit more about your programs.
Sure, I might take this one as well. I think Karen touched on some of our programs. One of the things that we have thought a lot about, and it's, our mandate is just the power of education. And so when you're faced with the situation where there are so many needs and strengths, it can be difficult to know where do we start? How do we, what are we going to do that's going to make the most difference? And education is such a huge social determinant of health. We know that's related to, short-term and long-term health outcomes. And so if we can equip a young person with an education, they're making a difference for themselves, but also for their child, as Karen pointed out with our second generation bursaries. So we really try to focus on education. The other piece that we try to do in tandem is focus on those first 1,000 days, right? We know that that early childhood development and education is so pivotal, like it affects the entire rest of your life. So if we can provide safety, stability, a nurturing environment, attachment in those early days, then we are, potentially having impact across that child's lifespan. And then the third piece is really looking at what are the barriers to education? What are the health and social services that this family needs? So it's all very nice to say, yeah, come to school every day. But if they don't have a safe place to live, that's not going to happen. And so we really have to unpack, what are the barriers? What are the facilitators? And how do we put all of that in place to support them? So our programs are education, childcare, and then we have lots of services on site, like we have financial help. So someone from Ontario Works who's on site. We have a doctor who is and a nurse who's on site. Addictions counseling, mental health counseling, parenting counseling, food bank so that they don't have to travel, really trying to build on a hub model where they can come to one spot where they feel safe, where they have that connection, and then we can bridge them to all of the services, hopefully internal, and we're necessarily pulling community services to help, support that circle.
Yeah, that is, I love how you have like the whole, it's a whole sphere of it, which is so important. A lot of people, when they think about centers like yours, they'll think about, like you mentioned, the food bank, clothes, PJs, diapers, we need all of the supplies. But what kind of support do centers like the Uville Center really need the most that people wouldn't think of, the other things that can help in helping these mothers as well?
I think one of the big things is spreading awareness. We're a pretty unique center in the city. There is other services for young parents as well. But we do feel that spreading awareness about what we can offer, whether you're telling another young mom about it or you're telling someone in the community that may be able to refer a client to us, our clients do self-refer. So really we're just always trying to reach those people that may need our services. So we do promote on social media. So sharing our posts, liking our posts, helping that way also creates awareness, just because through our posts, we're sharing some of the activities that are happening on a day-to-day basis here and some of the community partnerships that we have. For example, we, as part of a mentoring program, we do a lunch and learn series where we have some funding through Famous Five Ottawa and TD Bank, where we're able to purchase a special lunch for clients and staff, and they're able to, we'll have a guest speaker who can come in and share either life experiences or encouragement or a message about their career and give some options of career choices that would work well for clients and different things like that. So those types of funding really help us out greatly to be able to offer all our services as well. And then specifically, some of our funding needs tend to be for transportation. As Natasha said, a lot of our clients are busing, but there are situations where the bus isn't going to be an appropriate mode of transportation if they have an appointment or have a sick child. So we typically are looking for funding as well for transportation where we can purchase bus tickets through OC Transpo, bus vouchers, or Uber cards. At times, an Uber is the best option to transport someone to an appointment and back. Things like that. And then also the really practical support. We do have people that reach out regularly and help fundraise for us, which is amazing. And we'll do a diaper drive. Diapers, as you know, are a very expensive item. Diapers, wipes, formula, practical things like that too. But yeah, the financial donations really helps us keep things going and being able to offer that support. We do have some secondhand donations as well, or in kind, I would say. So our swap shop, where those donations that from the community who are very generous, and we're able to pass those out to our clients, and they're able to access things like that, which can help them save them money in the long run for their essential items they need, like housing and food.
Right, that's a very good point, especially with money donations as well. Is depending on the group that you have coming in, at certain points they may need different things. Yes. Right. So with the money donations, the center is in this, they're able to determine where that money can go to help the group, the most, or that cohort, that graduating class. So it is important to be able to go beyond just the diapers and the wipes. So those are always greatly appreciated, but transportation is a huge thing as well. And things that we don't think about necessarily, right?
We are fortunate to have a great partnership with OC Transpo, and a bus does pick up right at our driveway each day to bring clients to a major hub where they can distribute throughout the city too. So we definitely have some great connections like that.
It's great when the city comes together and is able to support like that. Right? It's heartwarming to see that. Now, since this episode is going worldwide, what is the best way a community can help young mothers wherever they are in the world? If they can't specifically help the Yeovil Center, but somewhere in their communities, what is the best way that they could help young mothers, or at least get started?
I think it's, pretty basic, actually. I think it's just, random acts of kindness go such a long way. Things like meal trains when a neighbor is having a baby, or, I mentioned it before, but I think a lot of our young people, when they get on a bus, they just are covered in so much shame and stigma. And so having someone just flash a compassionate smile, like, I see you, like, this is tough, or, whatever that is, I think all of those things that we can do just in our neighborhoods, in our parks, on our buses, like, to just treat each other kindly and see each other, are just so important and go so far with people who are already feeling like they're facing so much. So I don't know that I have any, magic ingredients or anything like that, but I think kindness goes a long way.
You're so right. And it is just to look beyond the situation. Oh, I could talk to you all day about this, but well, we're going to wrap it up. Before I do, I don't know if you wanted to add anything, or if there's anything that comes to mind that we can add to.
I guess I would just say, like I mentioned before, just try and find us on social media. We're more active on Facebook and Instagram, I would say, but we do have accounts for Twitter, X, and LinkedIn. And if you can share and raise awareness about us, maybe somebody that's really looking for a cause they want to fundraise for, and maybe they'll organize something and fundraise for us. That's really valuable for us. We are a small organization, and our staff are working really hard on a program level to support clients on day to day. And so tangible things like that really support us. Financial donations can be made anytime on our Canada Helps page, but for this specific podcast song, we have a special link just for your group of followers. So we'll make sure that we share that with you too, so you can put that out to your community. But thank you
so much. And I was going to ask, how can people reach you? I'll put all of that information in the description of this episode. So for everybody listening, please look at the description. You'll see all of the social media angles, the donation link to be able to support the UVille Center and to start making a difference in our community. And you're so right, Karen. A lot of people don't necessarily know where to look for resources or help. And so this is why it's so important to talk. You could have somebody who lived in Ottawa their entire life and wouldn't even know that centers like yours exist. So to, yes, like, share, share the posts and share the work that they're doing in the community. And without knowing it, you could be helping somebody who really needs that help at that moment. So let's keep that alive, and let's keep sharing and spreading the word. The word. So I appreciate that so much. Thank you again. I could have you on, and we could definitely have you on again for another episode whenever you want to come by, and we could kind of update on some of the new programs or what you have going on. I would appreciate that. And thank you again very much for joining us for this week's episode.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And for everybody watching, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. Don't forget to go check out the UVille Center. Again, the information will be in the description. Make sure to follow them and like their posts, support them by spreading the word. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.